This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 235. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. And I'm wondering if that actually showed up on the recording.
I guess we'll find out. It's going to be a short episode because there really wasn't a lot on.
We say that every week, but...
Yeah, I know, but there really wasn't a lot on.
No, there
I mean,
wasn't.
We got Cobra Kai, Fargo, Bly Manor. Did I remember to watch Bly Manor? Fuck, I think I forgot to watch Bly Manor.
I told you that Bly Manor was part one of two, remember?
Yeah, I know, but then
backstory.
Yes, but then I looked it up, and it's part one, a different episode, then part two.
Oh, interesting.
You know what?
So you really should have watched.
I actually completely forgot.
Oh, this is off to a great start already.
I just made up a word, forgetkin, which is fucking forgot apparently.
Yeah.
Let's
earn that mature rating.
I completely forgetkin to watch Bly Manor.
Okay. I forgot to write it in my notes.
You can still talk about it if you want.
Oh, no. You're watching it. Because if I talk about it, you'll be like, yeah, I guess I can skip it.
I still don't know if I even want to watch it.
Yes, you do.
Watch Utopia, though.
There's nothing else to watch. We're almost done with stuff. Yes, This Is Us comes back this week, but it's like, that's one show back.
I watched The Conners.
And you watched Hellstrom.
Yeah. The Conners was good. They live outside Chicago, so they got quarantined in the house for a while. And so Dan's girlfriend, Katie Sagal's character, she kind of got stuck with them. And she was fine with it because she's in love with Dan.
Oh,
I know. But they got a Danny Trejo showed up, made a cameo, and
it's always good when Danny Trejo shows up.
I know, and he was like an old friend of Dan's on the show. And he's like, oh, my boss sent me this contract, but I don't understand it. Can you read it for me, Dan? Oh, yeah, sure. And he looks at it and he goes, hey, this is an eviction notice. Yeah, Dan, I'm real sorry, but you've been served.
Oh!
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh!
And then
oh, what a dick.
And, but he's like, I'm really sorry, Dan, but I don't have a choice. I need a job, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he goes, and maybe this is the bad time to ask, but is there any chance I can get, like, my lawnmower back or something like that? And Dan goes, yeah, hold on, it's behind the door. And he shuts the door. But Wellman Plastics, that's where Roseanne and Jackie worked back in the day, is reopening to help make PPE.
And I saw in one of the previews that she had the flashback of when
she talks about Booker. And they talks about Booker, George Clooney's character. She makes it kind of like, really look like George Clooney. That's probably why I slept with him for so long or something like that. And then they showed an old clip from the original series. Mm-hmm. But Becky and Darlene both get jobs at Wellman.
They're really keeping the whole legacy of the working class American going.
I really enjoy the show.
It's good.
I really do. I'm actually really glad Roseanne's not on it. I thought for sure it would fail without Roseanne.
Yeah.
But this is like the third season, I think, of it. So, I don't know. It was fun. I liked it. It was 20 minutes is what I needed.
Nice.
Speaking of 20 minutes and what I needed, I watched Staged.
I'm glad you did that, not...
And there were times in the episode where I was just like, what in the actual fuck am I watching?
Right.
And then there was other...
Watching a Zoom call.
Yeah, and then there was other times where I'm like, this is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the entire episode...
The painting?
No.
Oh.
Okay, that was good. No, it was at the end of the thing where Michael Sheen like goes, it's going to be Michael Sheen and David Tennant. Why? Because S comes before T, alphabetically it makes sense. He goes, no, it doesn't. D comes before M. That's not how it works. Sheen comes before Tennant. He's like, no, it does. Well, no. D comes before M. That's one for me. Well, Sheen comes before Tennant. That's one for me. Well, what's your middle name? Joe? Ha ha, Christopher. Oh, fuck you. Hold on. You're typing. What are you doing? I'm checking Wikipedia. shut up. You know, like, I loved it.
I loved it.
That was the best part of the episode.
And the fact that, you know, Michael Sheen's, like, cheering and stuff. And yeah. He's like, yes, I thought. And then David Tennant, like, looks at the screen. He goes, yeah, it also says here you're a c-. And then it cuts off. It was brilliant.
No, it was really, really, really well done.
It was, like you said, it was something that you just need. You know, it was nice to see Georgia Moffat after, you know, being the doctor's daughter.
It's funny because, like, you have Michael Sheen's wife playing herself. Michael Sheen playing himself. David Tennant playing himself. David Tennant's wife's on there playing herself.
I get the sense that these two are, like, best friends.
Yes. And I love it. Like, no, your name was first on
Good Omens.
Good Omens. Okay, it's my turn now. Yeah. No, that's not how it works.
I love the painting, though, when he's like, he's like, oh, yeah, I've been drawing. And he puts up a little pineapple that he's, like, penciled, and it's like two-dimensional, and it's awful. And Michael Sheen's like, yeah, I did this. And he's like, you painted that? Yeah, just this morning.
Oh, fuck off. I love that. He's like, this is terrible. And that's,
just fuck off. And then Sheen later on, when his wife comes in, he's like, oh yeah, David's done some drawing.
You want to show him?
And he's like, no, I don't. Show us the pineapple. Come on. And you can see he's trying to keep a straightish face.
Yeah. No, this is like, For social distance timing of for filming, this was just brilliantly done.
Yes.
And I enjoyed the absolute hell out of it.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was one that my sister watched and she suggested, so I was like, I'll throw it on. And that's why I mentioned it to you.
Well, like, you mentioned it, I'm like, I don't remember us talking about this, but maybe we did. I don't know, but it's so great. The plot is Michael Sheen and David Tennant play fictionalized versions of themselves trying to rehearse a performance of Luigi Pirandello's six characters in search of an author during lockdown. It's only like six episodes.
And the whole premise is that if they can rehearse this and be ready to go, then as soon as the lockdown lifts, they'll be good to go while all the other theater companies out there are going to have to take like 6 months to rehearse. Yep. So
yeah, I thought it was really good.
And there's one other guy, Simon.
Yes.
And you could tell that Michael hates Simon.
Simon Evans, he plays himself.
Yeah.
He's the director of the play.
And Michael hates him.
Yes, he does. But also, Simon Evans wrote and directed this entire series.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he wrote every episode, and he directed every episode. So, and it's so he wrote Michael Sheen hating him, you know what I mean, of himself. So, but yeah, I'm looking in the future, like Judi Dench plays herself.
Oh.
Samuel L. Jackson plays himself.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. So I think it's gonna be good. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned something like, because like early in the week, I'm like, I don't know if I watched everything. What am I supposed to have watched? And I completely forgot about Bly Manor, like completely off the radar.
Did you, by the way, I mentioned this and you said last week you might check out Soulmates. Did you do that? Or
I did not. Okay. I do plan on it, actually. I just, because it does sound great. It's on AMC and I have accessibility.
The third episode was another really good one. I really like the fact it's an anthology. Yeah. So each episode has zero to do with anything else, but they're all like poignant. You know, it's all about they discovered the soul particle. You can know who your soulmate is. But it doesn't necessarily guarantee that this is somebody who you are going to love and be perfect with. It just means that – and that's what we're starting to unravel by the third episode is, you know, is the soulmate really the person who, you know, is your be-all, end-all, everything all the time? And it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this past week I was at the Academy all week, and then it just seems like every night where Emma was in town with Caleb, we were doing something, getting home kind of late.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I worked in dispatch one night, and then, so just, it was like a really busily packed week of doing stuff.
It was for me as well. I feel like I didn't stop all week. When I went to play D&D today, last night, my DM sent me a message, and he's like, hey, I sent you that file earlier in the week. Did you read it? And I'm like, yes. He's like, I've been waiting for you to get back to me on that. I'm like, sorry, this week literally got away from me. Same as you, you know? I don't remember what most of it was. It's a blur.
So what did you think of Cobra Kai this week?
Well, we got a new character.
Half-hour shows.
We got Tori this week.
New student.
Yep. Had to add another girl in there because we had Aisha and we have Sam. We have to add another one in there. And she's taken a few, kickboxing classes?
Yes.
So she feels good to take Miguel on.
Yeah.
And he puts her in her place, but she gets some good blows in there.
Yeah.
But she's a she's a bad girl. She's the bad influence, you know.
Oh, yes.
She goes to the country club and steals some vodka from behind the bar. Because, you know, she's a bad girl.
She is a bad girl.
She's going to be a bad influence on Aisha.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Mrs. LaRusso's wallet goes missing, so Sam automatically assumes that she must have done it because, you know, that's the only thief that Sam knows in her world.
Yep.
And Robbie knows that it's actually his ex-partner's.
So, yeah.
So he goes after them, and in the meantime, Sam goes and confronts Tori and gets knocked into a buffet table, and yeah. It was, I don't want to say it was a filler episode, but it
felt like a filler episode.
It definitely felt like a filler, and even introducing a new character, it felt kind of fillerish. Oh, and dude, Kreese, like Johnny following Kreese in a ramped up muscle car that even idling is like bom, bom, bom. And he's like trying to creep along behind Kreese as Kreese is walking down the street, like, he'll never see me. I didn't trust any of that whole exchange. Him being at the veterans home and, you know, or the shelter, and they're like, oh, we're gonna kick you out if you keep this up, and blah, 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 blah. I didn't trust any of that. I think it was all a lie.
So Dimitri got beat up by Kreese at the beginning of the episode and tossed out on his ass.
Yeah.
And then when Dimitri goes to his buddy Hawk about it, Hawk's like, yeah, you're just a pussy.
Yeah.
Basically. And so at the end, Dimitri joins Miyagi-Do.
That was probably the coolest part of this.
Yeah.
I could have done without Daniel kicking the guy's butts.
Yeah. And,
you know,
Mr. Miyagi style.
Yeah. But I did like the guy on the beach who was fishing and kind of gave Daniel that advice. He's like, you know, well, the fish aren't biting right now, but if you got something worth, you know, if you got some bait that's worth it, you throw it out there.
Yeah.
Eventually, the right fish will come to you.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to wait for him. Don't chase the fish. And that inspired him. And he said, no, we're not going to advertise anymore. We're going to wait for the fish to come to us. And that's when Dimitri
of course, shows up. And now Dimitri wants to basically prove himself. I know you're not watching Fargo, but I watched Fargo.
How'd it go?
It was a good episode.
How did Far go?
No, that was terrible. It's like when I was training this week at the academy, we got into the security section. I said, I just made a comment about bad dad jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, if I was my cohort, Chris, I would say to you, I'm going to give you guys all $20 and then hand out this photocopied piece of paper that has a $20 bill on it and breaks down the concept and securities of the bill. But that's his dad joke. I have my own. That being said, let's break into securities now. And thank you. Thank you.
Nice.
I'm not going to break down this episode into huge because you're not watching it. And I'm still going to go with this is a show for people to watch that enjoyed the first three series.
I thought you were going to say that lasts about an hour. So still no hard sell. Like, it hasn't turned to a point where you're like, no, you really got to check this out.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's not going to be a hard sell. It's you either like it or you don't.
That's how I am with Next. You know, yeah. I watch the next episode and I'm like, I'm not going to hard sell anybody on this. It's a limited series. It's something to watch.
Right.
But yeah, I'm the same way. As long as you're enjoying it, that's what's important, right?
Yes, exactly. We do one thing we find out about. There's this guy who's got nervous tics. He's a police officer.
Okay.
And it's almost like he's got OCD where he has to, like, open and close the door, like, five times before he can finally open it or switch a light on and stuff like that.
Is his name Monk?
No, his name's Otis, O-D-I-S. And we find out – and he's kind of in the pocket of the Fado family, which is the Italian gangsters. Mm-hmm. And we basically find out that he was a minesweeper in World War II.
Oh, Jesus.
And – before he got his tics, and shit going wrong caused his tics.
That's understandable.
So it's like a PTSD type thing.
Before they had a PTSD kind of
diagnosis. Yes, exactly. They called it shell shock back then.
Yeah.
But for him, it's more along the lines of, like, this is why he checks things or goes over things so many times. He can't help it because he didn't go well when he was a minesweeper.
Right.
I mean, otherwise, I enjoy it. You know, we've got six episodes to go to the end of the season. You know, it's going to finish up by the end of November. Again, else? Oh, I watched the first three episodes of, well, not the first. I watched 17, 18, 19, I guess, of Supernatural.
As did I.
I watched the three episodes that were there.
Yep.
This is a TV show that's on TV. That this is its last season.
And weren't they formulaic? So you have the first one, which is all inside the bunker.
And this is what's hilarious is that was filmed way prior to COVID and all these breakouts. Unless they're airing shit out of order, which they're not. You know, this was the one. This one was already episode 15, and it was one of the ones that was done or almost done before they did the hiatus.
Right.
Give Me Shelter, Last Holiday. Sorry, it was one of the ones that was already done before they did the hiatus. Mm-hmm. Episode 14. I watched 14, 15, and 16. There we go. You did too. So it was
self-contained. It was another one of these, like, the whole thing takes place in there, except for the occasional shots of them kicking in some hotel door for whatever reason.
Which, my favorite thing was the first hotel door they kicked in or whatever, like the lattice work behind them. It's like, they've stayed at that one.
Yep.
At least once a season in the last 15 years. Yeah.
And here's the thing. I haven't watched this for years.
Yes.
But I still, fell back into it just fine, except for the whole, you know, the Jack thing and stuff like that.
Right.
But I picked it up quickly. And B, it didn't feel like much had changed.
No, it hasn't.
Especially whatever it was, 16, the last one.
Yeah. Drag Me Away From You.
Oh, my God.
It's the one where Sam and Dean are kids at the hotel with the demon there, and it's coming back to haunt
them. Which they have to do that once every season. You know, let's have a flashback. Let's get some kids in here who look like they could be them at that age.
But really, it's the only way to continue telling stories because we've seen so many stories of adult Sam and Dean. Because this is the 15th season of this show. Like, for the here's the thing. For this topic, the fact it's gotten 15 seasons is crazy.
Some would say certifiably so.
Yeah, but sincerely. Like, there's no other show, like... X-Files got a 9 original seasons, but X-Files was different than this. X-Files, they were already adults. They didn't stop the end of the world 5 times.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, literally, Supernatural has painted themselves into a corner where the only choice they have is to fight God. Because they've defeated...
The son of Lucifer has to kill God and God's sister.
Yeah. Like...
Where do you go from there?
There's literally no place else you're going to go after this.
Nope.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, fighting their own inner demons.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. So, yeah, I didn't dislike it. It's something to watch. It's a show on TV, as you said.
Yeah, it's a show on TV.
But I really didn't get anything out of it that, you know, said, oh, this is why I used to love Supernatural.
Right.
None of it felt dark and gritty like the first 5 seasons did. None of it felt like compelling.
If this was like just... Quite frankly, if this was just going to be, if this wasn't the final season, I probably would just not give up on it, but like wait until all the episodes are out and then watch them without commercials. Because when I watch them now on the CW app, I got to sit through the commercials.
No, isn't that a pain in the ass? Even if you do it on demand.
Yeah.
So no matter what, I've got to watch
commercials. So there's a part of me that's like, if it wasn't for the fact it's the last season, but you know, it's the last season, like you said, we got like 4 more episodes or whatever it is.
Right.
5 more episodes, so I'm gonna finish it out. I'm gonna finish it out.
Are you starting to get the notifications of the pay-per-view that's on tonight?
Oh, it started at 7:00.
No, I mean, like, are people starting to text you about it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and I won a code last night for Impact Wrestling. Used at one point after WCW closed, a year later in 2002, Jeff Jarrett started TNA Wrestling, and then it's called Impact Wrestling, but it's that promotion. So for quite some time, it was the second largest wrestling promotion in North America. Okay, always behind WWE, but a step above Ring of Honor. Well, now it's, and you know me with wrestling. I watch all, love all. I haven't watched Impact in forever because their show's on Access TV. I can't watch it on demand anywhere. But I keep up with the storylines and I read the results and I follow along. So I know what's going on with the product. I watch matches on YouTube sometimes or clips or whatever. I keep myself. So they had their biggest pay-per-view of the year last night, Bound for Glory.
Okay.
I won a code on a giveaway on Twitter. It's a $40 pay-per-view and I won a code. So I got it for free.
Nice.
Like, I won a contest for a code. Mikey Lafreniere and I have had some amazing luck this summer winning codes for wrestling events on Fight TV. He won one this weekend as well, and they're typically like $15.
that's not bad.
Yeah. So I watched the pay-per-view last night, and it was so fucking terrible. Like, depressingly terrible. And it's just, I was hoping it would spur me to want to continue watching the product weekly, because likewise, WWE has not been exciting me at all this year. Like, not at all, but for the most part, I feel like they haven't done the pandemic very well mm-hmm. with putting out new product, new entertaining wrestling, if you will. Whereas I think New Japan Pro Wrestling has done an awesome job. AEW has done a fucking dynamite job. That's the name of their show.
Oh, okay.
I've done an amazing job to the point where they have a pay-per-view coming up on November 7th, and Mikey's going to come over and Paul's going to come over, people I trust that take care of themselves. And we're going to split the $50 cost three ways so we can get the pay-per-view and watch it. Because I'm that excited. I haven't paid full price for a pay-per-view since I got the WWE Network for any promotion.
That's quite an endorsement.
And even before I got the WWE Network, I only got Royal Rumble because I love the Royal Rumble match. I only got WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania. Otherwise, I didn't.
And it was a big sandwich.
And big sandwich day. Otherwise, I didn't pay for the pay-per-views. Now the only reason why I'm going to watch Hell in a Cell tonight after you leave is because I get it on the WWE Network for free.
Gotcha.
WWE is just really not, again, I keep up on, I follow up on it, but for me right now, it's independent wrestling, it's New Japan Pro Wrestling, it's all Elite Wrestling. And the pay-per-view last night for Impact Wrestling was so fucking terrible.
Is it one of those situations where you got it for free and you feel like you're overpaid?
Yes.
And there was, you're actually paid in your time.
There was someone else that lives down in Maine. He's a comedian named Connor McGrath. Maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't, but he's a comedian. And, you know, we follow each other on Twitter. And it's because of wrestling. It's nothing to do with comedy. I've never heard his bits, okay. His acts. But he commented, like, he basically commented, like, he won a code from someplace else. And he feel like he paid too much.
Yeah.
And I said the same exact, I was like, oh, I feel this way. And then we started basically shitting on it, comparing it to how bad, when WCW was bad for a time. And so that was fun. Mm-hmm. That was the most enjoyment I got last night.
Well, good. At least you found some enjoyment.
But yeah, So I'm definitely not the only one that feels like I overpaid for this. Anyhow, so yeah, tonight Hell in the Cell is on. And I am going to check it out after, probably I'll watch some of it after this. But I'm working from home the next 2 days. Which I'll probably check out Soul Mates the next 2 days on the AMC app working from home.
Yeah, I think the new episode comes on tomorrow night. So there'll be 4 episodes total. So let me know if you watch all 4. I've watched the first 3. So.
Okay, I'll let you know. What'd you think of Utopia? I
think it's almost over.
Thank God. I know I told you. I'm only going to stick with it because there's only 3 episodes left.
The thing with this one, this is the first episode that actually gave me a genuine what the fuck. And I legitimately said, what the fuck, and then had to rewind.
The twins? Because,
yeah, the cold opening. Like, he's in there. Rainn Wilson is in there, and he's, like, you know, taking care of this girl. And he steps out of the tent, and this other girl comes in that looks just like her.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, let's do this. Have we decided yet? No, we haven't decided yet. But I've got you what you talked about. Oh, last meal. And then they're suddenly eating a last meal. And I'm like, did I fucking miss something?
No, I was confused as well. But the basic premise is, these girls were test tube babies, essentially what it seems like.
Yep.
And this one man raised them both, in his mind, as his daughters. But even in the girls' minds, that's your problem. You got too close to us. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be close to us. You know, basically these girls were raised with the knowledge that their purpose in life was to one day sacrifice themselves for what is John Cusack's character deems the greater good.
Right.
So they were denied, like, Jell-O and certain foods and all kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And now one of them is going to die.
They're going to infect her with this disease and let her die.
Yes.
So
to fool Rainn Wilson's character in thinking he found a cure for the disease. Yep. Or a cure and a vaccine.
Vaccine, yep.
So they purposely infect her with the disease, and she knows she's going to die from it. And then when she does, they haul her off.
Incinerator,
and then the twin comes in to take her place to show, oh, look how much better I am. You did it, doctor.
And if you're wondering to yourself, well, why did they have to kill one? It's not like they, you know, only one of them could exist. They could hide the other one. What it was they infected her so that her test results would show that she was dying of this disease.
Yes.
Then Rainn Wilson comes in and says, I know that I found a cure. I was working on it years ago,
yep.
And John Cusack shut me down.
Yeah.
So he tries the cure, air quotes cure. And they swap out,
yeah,
because they know that the cure doesn't work.
Right, and they want to fool him thinking it does work. These are identical twins. They have the same DNA, everything. And so when he does the blood work on the second one, the one that's never was never infected, she shows there's a giant hair right off the side of that. It's bugging me. She shows that she's 100% cured from it.
Yep.
So yeah, it's just
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So yeah, that was a what the fuck moment.
Yeah. And then on the other side, we have the heroes, and they're doing stuff. Oh, they basically the news has broken that the kid is a mass murderer.
Grant, yeah, yeah.
And so this was interesting. The very tail end of this, because he had to take Jessica to get the other part of Utopia.
Yes, so
because he had left it with that little girl.
He doesn't know how to get there.
But he'll remember it if he sees it. And to his credit, he's right. You know, he's like, oh, I remember Mary. We're almost there. But while he's on his way there, the cops have showed up at the house because the little girl and the mother recognize Grant. And they're like, oh, my God, he stayed here. So the cops are giving them shit. They're like, why would you have let your little girl bring in this kid off the streets and give him a place to sleep? Yeah, that's really terrible. What a horrible woman she is.
Yeah.
But then Arby shows up. And Arby straight up murders all the cops.
Yeah, he pretends to be a social worker.
Because he looks creepy enough to be a social worker.
But, yeah, so.
So he murders all the cops and then asks the woman where Utopia was, where's Jessica. And when he says Utopia, the little girl's like, I've got it. I'll go get it.
Alice.
Yeah. Like, one of the smartest characters because she's like, oh, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
This guy wants it. I will give it to him. And so she gives it to him and he says thanks and shoots the mother.
Yeah, shoots her foster mother.
And then he takes – this was weird but also kind of coolish. He takes Alice into the kitchen, has her sit down, and tells her to be quiet. He's about to lose it and about to shoot her, but he doesn't. He holds himself in, and he takes her to the kitchen, and then he makes sandwiches, two sets, packs them in bags.
Yeah.
He sits down and reads Utopia. And then when Jessica Hyde shows up with Grant
– yeah.
He squares off with her, and he's better than her, which was interesting to see.
Yeah, they fight, and he gets the best of her every single time. And he makes the comment of, Jessica, I'm always going to win. That's my purpose.
Yeah. But then he basically gives her the book, and he says, I'm giving you this. I'm supposed to kill you. I don't want to anymore. I've read this. You don't want to read this. And then he gives her the food, and he's like, You should
eat this before you read it, because you're not going to want to eat after.
Yeah.
And Grant checks on Alice, and Alice doesn't seem to be afraid of him. And I kept waiting for him to say, like, that wasn't me. I didn't do that.
Right.
But it ends kind of weird because Arby just leaves, and he's like, if you need my help, Jessica Hyde, you can find me at home.
Yeah. Like, whatever he read in those pages triggered something in him, and he was just like, I don't want to help them anymore. So.
Also in this episode, after we find out about Grant being a murderer, then the other guy checks on his family, and they've all got like food poisoning or something, and they're in the hospital. And just like they're just trying to lure you out, and then
which all of us can see as well,
exactly. And then the other guy checks on his family and finds out they're all dead. And then Becky checks on her family, and there's nothing wrong. So now the other guy is accusing whose family was murdered is accusing Becky of being in on it because nothing's happened to her family. And then Jessica Hyde basically threatens all of them. And realistically, there's not a single likable character in the group. Mm-hmm. Becky has another seizure. She's going to be dead soon. Jessica Hyde's like, you can't have sex because you don't want to be in the middle of having some guy in you and they break in. How can you defend yourself if you got a dick in you? Is what she literally says.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's a valid point.
Yeah, but Jessica Hyde is just not at all a likable character.
Nope. You're right. None of them are.
The most likable character, realistically, is Arby somehow.
I know.
And he's a hitman serial killer for the better, you know.
Also, if you just saw a screenshot of him or like a clip of him without any words behind it, you'd think, oh, this is the pedophile character.
Yeah.
The way he dresses, the way his hair is.
Yeah.
Like, you'd look at him and say, yeah, this is the pedophile.
Yeah. So, okay, Alice is the most likable character we've met on the show, actually.
Yeah.
Because the other likable character we met on the show got murdered by Jessica Hyde, right off.
Yep. It's almost over.
Yeah. So I don't even know if I like the fucking show or not. It's just...
It's a show that's on TV.
It's a show that's on TV. It's kind of how I feel about a lot of shows right now.
Yeah.
That's it for shows.
No, it's not.
Oh, no. We got Hellstrom.
Yeah. Tell us about Hellstrom.
I really liked episode two. Mm. I really disliked Anna this episode.
Yeah.
You know? But
I got a little hint of why, you know?
Yes. But, okay, this is one of the things that I really had a hard time with is that she is naturally a very tall person.
Mm.
But then they had her in heels as well. Yeah. So it just looked awkward, like high heels as well.
Yeah.
So it just looked really, really, like, awkward the whole time. But we watched episode two. We meet a trucker that's been taken over by a demon.
Mm.
And he's found kind of dead in the road. And this guy stops to help him. And then eventually he attacks him and they crash. And we cut to a scene later where they're crashed, where the guy that stopped to help him is dead. And now this guy's pinned under this 18 tanker truck. And essentially he's had a piece of it driven through him, and when they remove it, he's going to bleed to death and die.
The human host.
Yeah.
Demon doesn't seem to care that much.
Well, of course he does. He's a demon. But the demons inside him needs to be exorcised out before he dies. And there's a priest there that was there to give him last rites, and then he calls, like, the little priest assistant, and so to make, you know, Damien go over.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. You know, I will get back to the beginning part of it later. You can tell about it. But so he goes over and we get a nice, cool, like little standoffishy thing where he's talking to him. And basically this demon reveals quite a bit of like, he's not there. Like
there's a big gash, a very bad looking gash.
Which
is
a mark. He's been marked.
This is where he was marked, but it wasn't the demon that marked the human host.
Right.
This was another demon that marked this guy for this demon to inhabit.
Yes.
And
yes.
He says, you know, the one that marked me, you can't stop him.
Yeah.
He's coming and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. And it's the one that we saw that got revealed in the first episode. Or like, it was like a tomb and the nurse got like his rib cage opened up and grabbed him in on the tomb thing. And then as he's talking about it, we see the guy back too, and his rib cage is opening up and he's laying down on someone to consume them. It looks like.
Yep. And we were told that what was in the tomb was a keeper.
Because
the box had been opened up. And so something was taken out of there. And the impression that we're given is that it is Damien and Anna's dad.
Yes. Yeah. Cause we learn more about his dad. Damien
is called a traitor.
Yes, he's called it. Yes, that was the other thing, too. He's like, kept calling him a traitor, which
he's dripping us little bits of info, but not giving us the full, which I appreciate.
Which almost makes you think that Damien's possessed by something, which is probably why. Because when the guy puts the fire around him and Damien walks towards it and the fire opens up and spreads away from him.
I don't even know if he's possessed of it. I think his dad was a demon and his mom was human or something like that. So maybe he's like half and half because he.
Yeah.
When he draws the demon out of this guy,
yes.
Which seems to be his ability, like his face gets sunken in and he gets dark and pale and looks like half dead. So there's something else going on. But again, I like it when they don't just give you a dump of exposition and say, this is who these characters are.
Yeah.
And,
so that was good. I liked it.
Yeah. Anna basically goes to see her mom in the asylum, but not to see her mom. She wants to see
the demon that is possessing her.
Yep.
Yeah, because of the skull and everything they found, yes.
And the skull is talking to her assistant.
Yes.
We don't hear anything. We just see that he's, like, compelled to touch it and then to sit there with it.
And then force it to bite his arm.
Yeah.
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 So.
And then, Anna's part of this group of people, and one of the guys shows up, and he's like, hey, do you have the skull? And he's like, what skull?
Yeah.
And so, like, I can't tell if he's lying or something.
All the time in the patients, and he set the axe in there very nice and in nature. And the guy walks in, he's like, that's fake, you know? And he picks it up and he goes, damn.
Yeah. But yeah, so Annie goes to talk to her mother.
Mm-hmm. And basically, the woman there who knows both of them, it sounds like she made a choice early on to take care of Damien and kind of throw Anna to the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like she could have taken either one of them in, but instead she took Damien, and so that's a sore spot between them. But she basically tells Anna, she's like, if you want to get through to your mom, try sharing a childhood memory with her.
Oh,
she's like, yeah, go fuck yourself. So she slaps the demon around, and they both get their asses kicked.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, what did you think? That wasn't going to work. You got to share a memory with her. She's like, all right. So she shares a memory about when she was like 8 years old and
She got a charm bracelet from her dad and her.
Because we saw him burying a body out in the woods.
Yes.
And then at the end, we see that he got into the car and handed her the charm.
And you're like, and you saw it and you ripped it away from me and you knew what it was about, where it came from, and you did nothing.
Yep.
You stayed with him.
Yep.
But the demon inside their mother tells Anna that they didn't send they didn't send the guy to the tomb to release that demon. They sent him to the tomb to kill the demon.
Mm-hmm.
And he failed to kill the demon.
Yep.
So the demon that's possessing their mom is not a big fan of this demon that's released.
Right.
So that's interesting too, because the automatic assumption is they're working together somehow.
Right, because they're all demons.
So I did read something earlier this week that Hellstrom. I wouldn't expect it to be renewed for season two.
No.
And the reason why is because this is the final show from the original Marvel television universe that was still in production. That's going to be released, and before they did a restructuring and moved it to this other division.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we don't get the cool Hellrider series, and that these Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to be like the first show allegedly we're going to get from the new Marvel TV universe.
Yep. Which so, they'll probably dub the real one.
You know? Right. Yeah. So it'll be interesting because they can't dismiss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No.
But I see them dismissing every other show that's been out.
Yep. They'll dismiss Daredevil, The Defenders, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist.
Daredevil was really good. You know, the shows had their ups and downs, but those were some.
We loved the second season of Iron Fist.
Oh, fucking, the second season of Iron Fist was the best.
It was fucking amazing.
And I loved Daredevil season two, the Punisher episodes.
Mm.
The Punisher series was good. I liked it. But the second season of Daredevil, his Punisher episodes, his monologues, telling us why he is the way he is, his delivery, fucking amazing.
Yep.
Real quick, because it's the only news I really have to talk about, so I'll just bring it up now. I sent you that image of those toys coming out for Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And it's the huge spoiler that the new Captain America is going to be Johnny Walker, or John L. Walker, who became Captain America. This issue of Captain America sitting on my table actually features John Walker as Captain America. Mm-hmm. These are a wrestling tag team he fights and kills. And then he goes crazy, and then they bring back Steve Rogers to be Captain America, and then he ends up becoming U.S. agent eventually. So
it's going to be an interesting take on things.
And I'm curious if they're going to have that bleed into the movie universe, or if they're going to wrap it all up in the TV show and bring back Steve Rogers. Because now Chris Evans, right? That's the guy I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Has said that he would come back to play Captain America. If it was for the right reason.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe, if it's anything like the comics, people can come back anytime they want.
I guess, do we have any more TV shows to talk about?
Negative, sir.
Talk about movies?
Sure. Oh, I will say for TV shows, I did a partial rewatch of the first season of Doom Patrol. My friend Kelly came over. We were supposed to watch The Frighteners.
Yeah.
Because she had never seen it, and I was so excited.
What?
And I'm like, The Frighteners is the greatest. And I said, you know, Michael J. Fox, he's a medium. He talks to ghosts. You know, it was Peter Jackson's work before The Lord of the Rings. She's like, nope, never heard of it. I'm like, great. We turned it on. We get 5 seconds in. She goes, this looks familiar. Does he have a yellow punch buggy? And I said, yeah. She goes, oh, yeah, I've seen it. She goes, you want to watch Doom Patrol? Sure, let's watch Doom Patrol. So I watched.
You still could have watched it.
I know. But we watched a few episodes of Doom Patrol, which she hasn't seen. So it was nice to. And it's a solid show.
Oh, yeah. It is a good show.
First season is still better than the second one, especially because Alan Tudyk is in the first season and he's not really in the second season. So.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so movies.
I watched 5.
Oh, I got 4.
Nice. Two of what I watched were wrestling documentaries.
Oh, yeah?
One's called Cassandro the Exotico, and I've been wanting to see it for a while. Exotico is what it's a term.
Oh, no, I just liked how you added the accent in there.
Well, he's a Mexican Sandro wrestler.
Cassandro the Exotico.
He's a Mexican wrestler. And Exotico is a male wrestler that dresses up like a female when wrestling.
Oh, interesting.
And a lot of times Exoticos are not gay, but Cassandro is. He's been wrestling for 30 years.
Well, it's like Eddie Izzard loves to dress in drag, but he's not gay.
Sure. He's been wrestling for 30 years. He was born in United States in El Paso. Like, his parents came across the border and gave birth to him back in a time when that meant he's an American citizen. And he's also a Mexican citizen because his parents are from Mexico. So he was born in America, but grew up in, for spent a few years in Juarez, Mexico, and then spent many years in El Paso growing up and going to school and everything. And so he travels back and forth all the time. Okay. And it was just about him and his life. And it's on Tubi, which is, yeah, so there's like, I think, four commercial breaks throughout the whole documentary. If you like Lucha Libre and you like, you know, it's a hell of a documentary.
Cool.
It's good. It was filmed over several years and came out in 2019. Yes, 2019 eventually. And then the other documentary I watched was on Sweet Daddy Siki. I watched this on Amazon Prime. It's another wrestler. He was a trailblazing wrestler. He started wrestling in the 1950s. He's 80 years old now. He started wrestling in the 1950s. He's from Texas, but he's living in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And he, you know, he had issues where he was the first black man to challenge for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. It was against Buddy Rogers in the 60s.
Okay.
He went to a match. The match, he showed up for his match. This is a different match against Buddy Rogers. And he was, the Ku Klux Klan showed up. And the Klan said that if he touches Buddy Rogers, they're going to kill him. And if Buddy Rogers touches him, they're going to kill Buddy Rogers for soiling his hands on a black man. Like, he, like, I know that's how it was in the South. I understand whatever it was what it was in the 60s. It still just kind of, like, blew me away.
I know.
You know? It just still kind of blew me away. It's really good. This guy is the guy that trained Edge.
Hmm.
You know, when he was later in years, he opened a wrestling school, and he trained Edge and Christian and a few other guys.
Nice.
It's well worth your watch. Came out in 2017. It's on Amazon Prime. I really, really enjoy it. Again, it's another short one. Both of these are only like 75 minutes long.
Okay.
So, what'd you watch for movies?
Well, I'll hit two of them because, as I had told you earlier, I went on a date last night.
Yes.
And we went to the Bangor Drive-In.
Trying to think of what they had for a double feature.
Well, they have two screens up there.
Yes, they do.
So, on one screen, which I could actually see from there.
Yes, but, you can.
Which, you'll have to tell me. Compared to Scout Egan, they seem like the screens are much smaller.
They are.
Okay.
Yes, so the Skowhegan Drive-In's got a bigger screen.
But it only has one.
Right.
So on the one screen off in the distance, it was the kids' version. Sure. So you had the animated Addams Family,
yeah,
and you had Monsters, Inc.
Makes sense.
Solid,
yeah,
film.
Yes.
Apparently, right before this, they were doing Trunk or Treat there.
Yes, they did,
so
the Trunk or Treat on Saturday.
Like 4 to 6, and then 6:30 is when the movie started.
Yep.
So by the time
I remember seeing it
there,
being advertised. My buddy Josh works there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what we saw was Carrie followed by The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, did you see?
Well, I presented it to the person I was going with, and I was like, here are our options. She was like, Silence of the Lambs all the way. I'm like, damn right.
The Skowhegan Drive-In on Saturday night did a triple feature with,
yes,
Carrie, Cujo, and
Christine.
And Christine. It was a Stephen King triple
scenes
feature. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually talked about that because she lives up in the Newport, Plymouth area.
Yeah.
But it was like, that would have been okay, but at the same time, we were like, we went to the Corn Maze in Levant, and
yeah,
we got some nice pizza dinner. And,
oh, where'd you go for pizza?
Mason's.
Okay, yeah.
And it was an all-vegetarian.
Well,
it was nice to me.
There's a new pizza place up there that I've heard of a couple of my buddies that live up there, like, raving how great it is. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if maybe you checked that out. I just,
nope,
can't think of the name.
She had sent me a menu, and it was, she was like, does any of this sound good to you? And it all did. We got buffaloed cauliflower.
Yeah.
We got fried artichoke hearts. I know you're sitting there going, ugh, but, and then the pizza was all vegetarian, but it had like mushrooms and olives and spinach and cheese,
sure,
and hot honey.
Okay.
Oh, spicy honey.
It actually
so
sounds good.
And it had a balsamic drizzle on it. It was good.
Nice.
So anyway, we went there. I will say this. So Carrie was first. I have not seen either of these movies in a while.
I haven't seen Carrie in years. I watched Silence of the Lambs about a month ago.
Okay. Carrie, I was shocked, and we actually did a little Mystery Science Theater 3000 because, my God, people were fucking abusive.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible, though.
Like, well, no. I mean, like, the gym teacher backhanding her students.
Oh, yes.
Like, hauling off and just backhanding.
Oh, yeah.
Backhanding Chris. John Travolta backhanding Chris.
Yeah.
Which that was fun too. Cause again, I haven't seen this in years and we're watching it. She's like, God, that guy looks like John Travolta. I'm like, it does kind of look like John Travolta.
Cause it is.
She's like, is it? And I was like, no, I'd remember if John Travolta was in this movie. And she's like, I really think it is. And I'm like, all right, I'll look it up. She's like, that is John Travolta. I swear to God. Yeah, it's John Travolta.
Yeah.
But yeah, now here's the other thing. And again, it's been years, so maybe you don't remember this either. But they actually showed the full scene of these guys, like, going into the pig slaughterhouse.
Yeah, slaughtering the pig.
And slaughtering the pig. And,
sure.
Okay. I didn't remember that
from
the first time I watched it.
Well, it's just like the opening of the movie is a girl shower scene, and everyone's playing solemn music, and it's so soft and serene, and girls are washing themselves, and all of a sudden you see blood running down the leg, and then Carrie freaks out because she's had her period for the first time in her life.
And they all throw maxi pads and tampons at her.
And I like how they just take the full case off it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, like, because it's a vending machine.
I want to take his case
off.
I saw part of that the other day.
Nice. So. But yeah, it's solid flick.
Yeah. But yeah, man, people just backhanding each other all over the place.
I thought you were going to bring up the fact that Adam Sandler got his
They're all going to laugh at you.
They're all going to laugh at you for his comedy so bit hard. From Carrie's mother.
Yeah, I laughed so hard when that came up. Also, we decided that the gym teacher should really be held accountable for what happened in the prom as much, because she sat there and, you know, Carrie is the smart one. And she's like, they're going to trick me. They're going to fool me. They're just playing a prank. I don't want to do this. And the gym teacher's like, no, it might be nice. Maybe it'll be good. You should get out. You should try it.
Yeah.
Then turns around and goes into the office and says, what kind of trick are you trying to pull?
Yeah, exactly.
What's this bullshit that you're doing? I know you're trying to trick her.
Yeah.
So what a duplicitous bitch.
Yep, pretty much.
Wow. I will say this about Silence of the Lambs.
Yep.
Everybody's seen it. Everybody knows it. It's a lot different to watch it after having watched Hannibal.
Yes, isn't it? That's why I've watched Silence of the Lambs. And,
yeah.
And
seeing Jack Crawford and
Hannibal.
And Chilton.
Or not, yeah, Hannibal, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just listened to the Moth podcast this week, and one of the guys that had on it, he was an actor who was... I don't know the breakdown. He's somehow friends with Jonathan Demme. And so when he was doing Silence of the Lambs, he went to Jonathan and was like, can I just please have a role in your movie? He was like a stage actor.
Okay.
And he was Jonathan's like, yeah, I can put you in it. So he made him the EMT guy that saves, you know, and it was just, so he's breaking down his part in the movie, and it's hilarious to like, cause I just watched it, it was kind of fresh in my mind.
Yep.
But like how, when he did the scene inside the cage, they did three takes. And he was, you know, the first take was perfect, but they did it again. And the third take, he added a swear word in it. And they all thought it was great, and it was awesome, and great job. And then the next day, you know, they're setting him up to do that scene in the back of the ambulance, and it did not go as well. But eventually he got the take out as they needed it and did what they did. But, like, it took, like, 27 takes. And,
nice.
Yeah, Jesus. But it was just... It was kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a classic.
Yeah.
One of the most quoted movies ever.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I can't say that, but it is a very quoted movie. You know, puts the lotion in the basket. I ate his liver with fava beans and a chilled Chianti. You know, hello, Clarice.
Yeah.
There's a million different lines that come from that. Buffalo Bob, you know,
Buffalo Bill
is... iconic. So anyway, yeah.
Okay, but did you remember that the guy that played actor that plays Buffalo Bill also played the lieutenant on Monk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so. It's always fun to see people in those different roles and be like, "Oh my God, it's him!" Yeah. Especially when he answers the door for Clarice, because you know the rest of it, he's very, you know, it's dark and everything. Yep. But when he's standing there in the door and he's talking to her and he's like, "You can come on in," and you're like, "Ah, it's him, Monk."
I watched a movie on Netflix called Random Acts of Violence.
Okay. It sounds familiar.
It's a slasher horror flick, stars, produced and directed by, and he's a secondary character in it, of Jay Baruchel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Jesse Williams is in it, and then Jordana Brewster.
Wow.
And, basically, it's this guy who is a, Todd Walkley, Jesse, is played by Jesse Williams, and his publisher, Ezra, by Jay Baruchel, made their careers crafting a comic book based on a real-life serial killer called Slasherman. On a press tour to announce the launch of their final issue, they visit the town where Slashman wreaked havoc 20 years earlier, and his girlfriend, Jordana Brewster, is writing a book on the Slashman victims. But, see, basically everyone accuses this guy of glorifying the violence, and she wants to glorify, which he did.
I was going
to
say.
She wants to glorify the victims.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, a new series of murders start to unfold because basically, you know, Slasher Man's back.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be much of a movie.
Exactly. And it's decent.
Yeah.
It's decent. Okay. You know, it was 80 minutes, so it was non-threatening as far as length. You know what I mean? I wasn't dedicating myself to a big chunk of time and being pissed off about it at the end.
Right.
But it was decent. I can't give it a hard sell.
Okay.
I really tried this month to do a 31 Days of Halloween, watch something horror-filled every day, and I just couldn't pull it off.
Yeah.
It was too hard some days.
Giggy.
Yeah. I did watch a fan fiction. I talked about Never Hike in the Snow last week.
Yes.
Well, there was a Halloween one called Happy Halloween. It's a Halloween fan film. And it's only like 10 minutes long. Of course, it stars Michael Myers. It was really well done.
Nice.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. So go on YouTube and check that out.
Is it like that one that I sent you, Halloween's Canceled?
Okay, no, which that stars Tiffany Shepis, which is awesome.
Wasn't that great?
But that one is a short film where Michael Myers, and they filmed in Pasadena where the original Halloween film was filmed. So that's even better because you see like him, like the bushes have grown.
Yeah.
But like you recognize that street immediately the trees and the bushes and the sidewalk because it looks the same 42 years later or whatever it is. But yeah, Michael Myers is sad because COVID shut down Halloween, and then
nobody's trick or treating. Nobody's allowed to go out.
And there's signs like no trick or treating, no this, no that. And he's like, and then he runs into this woman who's like, "You think that mask is going to help you?"
She's the ultimate Karen.
Ultimate Karen about an anti-masker, on and on and on, and it finally ends with him killing her, and it's just awesome.
Yep.
You say you watched four movies?
Yes.
I got two more to talk about as well. What's the two movies you watched?
Terminator: Dark Fate.
I watched that one. It's the one where Arnold Schwarzenegger's married with a kid, but he's just, okay. What'd you think of it? Is it a direct sequel to Terminator 2?
It's supposed to be a direct sequel to Terminator 2.
That's what I thought. And ignores every other Terminator movie in the series.
Yep, except that it does, but it also doesn't because then, what's his name there, who... I'm blanking on his name, but the guy who's in charge of all of them, you know, who did Terminator and Terminator 2, he said, you know, he's going to make the real
sequel. Cameron something.
Yeah, James Cameron.
James Cameron.
Yeah, he's gonna make the real sequel. So anyway, here's the thing. In my eyes, a Terminator movie, when it's done right, when it's done good, is like one of those nightmares where you're constantly trying to get away and you can barely run. Everyone's had one of those. Probably multiple, but you know, you're trying to run and your legs move really slow and you're like slogging through. It's like that. It's like a constant nonstop chase, pursuit, etc. So Terminator movies, that's what they are.
Yes.
They're just, you're going to sit down and you know, you're going to be watching Speed, but with a killer robot.
Yes.
So in that respect, that's exactly what it was. I got what I expected.
Yep.
Story-wise, I mean, they open up basically saying that at the end of Terminator 2, they won. Skynet was never created.
Right.
Except it was because it sent another Terminator back.
But it's got,
it didn't look like Arnold.
But it's got a different name.
Yeah.
It's not Skynet. It's something else.
Now it's Legion.
Yeah.
But even before that, like, he got sent back and killed John very easily.
Yes.
Like, after Terminator 2 and all the hijinks,
like,
Linda Hamilton's just sitting there enjoying a daiquiri at a little beach bungalow, and John's flirting with some girl at the counter, same age as Terminator 2, turns around and gets gunned down right there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they did it that easily.
Well, it wasn't Skynet that sent him back. It was Legion that sent him back, because Skynet didn't exist, but this new one did.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, Skynet did kill John, but then... Skynet never happened still, but then now Legion's going to happen, and it's the same story of now that this other AI is sending back someone to kill someone else's kid, you know. It's basically Terminator 1, but...
Not really, because it wasn't about her kid, it was about her.
Well, no, because in Terminator, the first Terminator, it was about Sarah Connor.
Well, you had to kill Sarah Connor because she was going to give birth to John Connor.
And now, in this one, it's about this girl. And so Sarah Connor is playing the Michael Biehn character from Terminator 1, except she's not impregnating the girl. The girl's already pregnant, I think.
But She also has Grace there, who is an enhanced human.
Right.
Who's on par with the Terminators, except for the fact that she has to keep injecting herself with a cocktail of drugs because her metabolism was only set up to be short bursts so that she could go kill a Terminator and then basically die.
Yes. And then they go see Arnold Schwarzenegger because Linda Hamilton doesn't know that he's still alive.
Right.
But and this, he basically is
like, yeah, after I killed John, there were no more orders that came to me from Skynet. So I kind of just kept learning and that's what you're supposed to do. And he essentially developed what his version of a conscience would
be. Yes.
And he realized what he had taken from her. And she's like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
It was.
And he's like, you can kill me after, but we got to stop this first.
Yeah. It was, again, it was a relentless chase movie.
Yeah.
It had some great scenes. Diego Luna is awesome. I miss having him as Ghost Rider. But he was great as an evil Terminator.
Yep.
Lots of killing, lots of action, lots of CGI. That's about my big sell on it.
Yeah. I watched... Kate and I watched To Be Halloween.
Oh, what'd you think?
You watched it, right?
I did.
Yeah. It's an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know,
if you go into it with that knowledge.
We watched the trailer. Kate's like, yeah, let's watch this. So we watched the movie, and it was an Adam Sandler flick with his wacky characters and him being a wacky, strange character himself and all the cameos from all his friends, you know.
Michael Chiklis is a jacked up priest.
Yeah. Harvey Keitel's in it. Ray Liotta's in it. Rob Schneider's in it. You know, Steve Buscemi's in it. I mean,
Shaquille O'Neal's in it.
Yeah. So it was good. It was good for what it was.
And that's exactly how I felt.
I would go back and watch Happy Gilmore again because it made me laugh.
Yes.
I don't think I'd go back and watch this one.
Nope. But it was a Halloween movie. It wasn't terrible as long as you go in knowing what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah. What's the other movie you
watched? The other one was based on your suggestion and my own desire, which was Spies in Disguise.
Oh, and?
I loved it.
Wasn't it great?
I loved that the whole twist on it that they don't really talk about in the trailers is that, you know, the kid's whole gimmick is he wants to create non-lethal.
Yes.
So it's like very Doctor Who-ish.
Yes.
You know, he wants to create non-lethal. And some of them were just fucking hilarious. Like at the end with the giant glitter bomb that has the kitten in it.
Yes, the glitter bomb with the kitten and everyone just goes, aww. Yeah.
It was delightful.
It was delightful.
I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I was surprised.
And I still enjoyed it. I got good lessons out of it and felt warm and fuzzy at the end. You know, may have gotten a little choked up when the pigeons came for him. And
Yep. It was good.
Yeah.
We, yesterday, the wife and I, we were sitting here and... What was it weird? We were going to go to our mother's for dinner one last night because her sister went home today. So we were going to go to our mother's for dinner, but we had a couple hours to kill and trying to find something for us to watch. And they had Back to the Future parts 1, 2, and 3 on Netflix. And we had gone to the drive-in and saw Backlog last year and went to the Back to the Future triple feature. We made it through the end of the second movie and she's like, I'm exhausted. I'm like, you know what? The first two are the best two.
They are.
We watch the third one someday, no big deal. And Vanessa's like, fuck it, I'm putting this on. So I put Back to the Future Part 3 on. It's a great flick.
It is.
She enjoyed it. She got sucked right into it. And then, like, at the end of the movie, like, you know, Michael J. Fox goes, you know, back to the future, if you will, and Doc Brown's stuck back in time. And she's just like, that. Do we find something out about his character? I mean, do we find, like, do they see a picture? Did they live happily ever after? I really didn't need to know what happened. I'm like, uh-huh. Oh, I just need to watch the movie, don't I? Like, she's mad at me, right? Like, it's my fault she needs to watch the movie to learn what happens. And I just go, well, yeah, you do. She was, yeah, because she'd never seen it before. She'd never seen any of the Back to the Futures until we went to the drive-in last year and saw 1 and 2.
That's crazy.
I know, right? Back to the Future, to me, is a rare trilogy in respect that all of them are good.
Yes.
You know,
the original Star Wars. All of them are good.
The original Star Wars trilogy. All of them are good. And Taken, the first one's good. Then they got progressively worse. You know,
Indiana Jones.
If
you just counted.
If you count the first three, are great. Part four, not so much.
Yep.
Young Indiana Jones. Eh. But anyways, yeah. But Back to the Future is one of those rare trilogies where he told his story. Robert Zemeckis told his story in three movies. And he was done.
Yep.
Jaws 1 was great, and 2 was okay, and 3. What? Yeah. And, you know, they got progressively worse. So, but no.
Friday the 13th? No.
Yeah, not gonna exactly. Go. But no, Rob, Back to the Future is one of those rare films where they made a trilogy. The point that they planned on making a trilogy, and it worked.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
I don't have any trailers to talk of.
We only have three. I sent all three of them to you.
Yeah.
The reboot for the Animaniacs looks phenomenal.
Looks fantastic.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited for that. Toys of Terror. Because it's a horror movie.
Yeah, I know.
It's a holiday-themed horror movie. I was not sold on it either.
I know.
But I figured it was one of those, like, you deserve to really see.
Sure.
And then The Flight Attendant.
Yes. I don't know if I commented to you about this or not. It's a series, right?
It's a series.
This looks, it's with Kaylee Cuoco. This looks fantastic.
Yeah. She basically, she's a flight attendant, and it looks like she hooks up with a guy.
Yeah.
Wakes up the next day, he's dead.
Yeah.
And then, that sounds like the premise of a movie.
Yes.
But then, it's a series, so like, all these things happen between very serious and shocking, like her trying to avoid, and then also farcical, where like, one of the guys is like, did you seriously just bring me to the funeral of 4G? Like, the guy who was on the plane. And it looks dynamite.
It does. It looks really good. It's an HBO Max series, yeah. There was something... Oh, we watched a... We're watching the Nightly News. And that documentary series about the... That you're watching on HBO Max.
The Vow?
The Kristen Kruick one.
Yeah.
They were talking. They were talking about that guy and some statements he had made or whatever. And I made the comment to Kate before because they said, "Oh, back from the break, we're going to hear from blah blah blah." And I go, "Oh, John's watching a documentary on that guy and his cult, basically on HBO Max. He says it's really really good." And then we watched the thing. So I'd really like to watch that. I'm like, "Well, maybe we'll get HBO Max if they ever get a Roku app."
Here's what's interesting: they have one now. I think
I haven't seen one. Do they?
I think so.
Oh, I haven't looked recently.
No, maybe it was Peacock. It was Peacock. I remember sending you something, but yeah. I am keeping my eye out for that for you. It's interesting because that's one of my news pieces. So I thought that The Vow was going to be a self-contained, like, this was it. Apparently season one ends with the arrest. Season two starts and goes through the entire court case. So I didn't realize that they were going to be doing a second season of this. But apparently there's enough information and enough... story to tell that the whole second season can be the court case and everything that happened. And
yeah.
So that's very interesting. Yeah. Hopefully they fix that up for you guys soon.
Yeah. I would like to think they will.
So new stuff.
Cause The Witches is an HBO Max exclusive.
And it's there now.
Yeah. Well, 28th.
Borat.
Oh no. It's on there now before it hits theaters. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Borat. You can watch right now on Amazon Prime.
Are you going to watch that? Week.
No.
I'm not going to.
I never watched the first movie. I know enough about it. You know, I marked that up with, like, Titanic, that I know enough about it that I don't need to watch it. But, so, yeah, you said you had, like, one news thing. I think you sent me a couple of news things, but...
Did I?
I don't know.
Oh, I sent you that picture of the John Walker.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now he's trying to find an HBO Max app.
HBO Max executives say they have apps ready for both Roku and Fire TV, but the company must hammer out deals with those distributors first.
There you go.
NBC Universal's Peacock, their rival streaming service, launched a couple months after HBO Max, was missing from HBO and Amazon Fire, but they struck a deal in September to bring the services to those users, but no signs of emerging HBO Max closing on a deal anytime soon.
Okay.
So.
It's coming.
Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Yeah, so I read a news thing that Marvel might be bringing back Nick Cage to play Ghost Rider.
Boo.
Yeah. I also read... That's rumor. Rumor and innuendo.
Right.
Then I read another thing that Ben Affleck has signed to play Batman in four more fucking movies.
Yeah.
At the same time, they're making this Rob Pattinson the Batman movie. So much like The Joker, is this Batman movie not going to be in continuity anymore?
My one of the guys in my D&D group, he and I talk about a lot of this stuff, and he is a big DC fan. And so we have differing opinions on that. So he sent me a thing, and he was like, "So did you hear about this?" I'm like, "Yep, I'm sure you're happy." And he's like, "I am." I'm like, "Okay, I'm not that thrilled, but okay."
I think I enjoyed Ben Affleck as Batman. It's not that for me. What bothers me is the rampant inconsistency with the DC Extended Universe. With
well, now they've announced that Deathstroke will be in the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, Deathstroke. Yeah, Deathstroke's going to be in the Snyder Cut, and there's a couple other characters that are going to be in the Snyder Cut now.
It's like he's desperately pulling these all back and grasping to try to make this work. Oh, Jared Leto, they said, might be in the Snyder
Cut. No, that's right. Jared Leto is the Joker's going to be in the Snyder Cut.
Like, they're trying to pull them all together and say, no, this really is a cohesive universe. It's not.
It's not. They need to start over.
Yeah.
Is what they need to do. They just need to say, fuck it, and start over. Will I watch the Pattinson Batman movie? Yes. Yeah. It's a Batman movie.
Goddamn right.
Fucking right, of course I am.
Yeah.
Oh, I did see that there's a new Batman The Killing Joke DVD that's out.
I just watched that on Netflix.
Not The Killing Joke. Sorry. That's
Death
on Netflix.
Family.
Death in the Family. And it's got three alternate, it's got three endings. And you choose which ending you want, much like the fans voted for Robin to Live or Die back in the day.
We all saw how that went.
Well, you can have the ending where Robin dies, the ending where Robin lives, and then a third ending where Robin barely makes it out. So, I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Because it makes you have to go buy the physical media to watch the three alternate endings.
Right.
Unless, of course, they, you know, like Netflix with the Black Mirror movie they did. Or was it like a choose-your-own-adventure type of thing? Unless they did something like that.
Right. Interesting. One of the biggest disappointments this week was the news that we discovered that Die Hard Returns is a fucking car battery commercial.
For the fucking Die Hard battery that Advanced Auto Parts or one of those fucking stores bought the rights from the old Sears and Roebuck to make it. Yeah.
And kudos to them for getting, you know, Bruce Willis and Argyle to show up and Theo the hacker.
Yeah.
You know, kudos to them for that. But what a disappointment.
Massively.
Michael B. Jordan is producing a Static Shock movie.
Hmm.
I love Static Shock. What a great character. You know, teenager, has electric powers, and later on he becomes a member of the Justice League. It was just fantastic. So I'm looking forward to that. Away was canceled.
Yeah, who gives a fuck?
Yay! I was actually kind of happy because I really didn't like
it. No, but that's like, it's like, great.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. It was terrible.
CBS has announced that they are also now pivoting to streaming rather than putting more of their stuff to theaters and such.
Oh, movies-wise, I'm like, they have been. But you're talking about the movies.
No, they're... but I also think their network TV stuff, they're going, like, now that they're going to be Paramount Plus or whatever it is, I think that you're going to see them pivot away from having, like, the cable type stuff and go more towards streaming. Like, Disney Plus doesn't have it. Well, they have Disney Channel, but.
They have the Disney Channel. And they have Disney XD and Toon Disney and.
Yep. All right. That wasn't a good example.
Well, I wasn't shitting on you. I'm just saying Disney stuff. But, like, yes, I know what you're saying.
Right. The Willow sequel series is now official.
Okay.
It's coming to Disney Plus. Warwick Davis will be involved.
I say, will they get Warwick Davis?
Yes. In fact, they had a little bit in there. It wasn't a lot, but I linked it so that I could tell you. But it says, after years of silence, Disney has confirmed that Lucasfilm's Willow will receive a sequel in the form of a TV series coming to its Disney Plus streaming subscription service. The pilot will be directed by Crazy Rich Asians John M. Chu. Willow has largely remained untouched since its original. Will join existing novels and a comic book that previously built on the world of the film. The 1998 film. Let's see. Not much is known about the sequel series beyond that it will take place years after the original film, but Ron Howard, now an executive producer, describes it as a creative lean forward rather than a nostalgic throwback.
I don't mean to sound ignorant. Willow is Lucasfilms?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yep. It was. Huh. Archer's been renewed for a 12th season. That's kind of cool. Okay. I had to link this one because I couldn't believe this when I read it. The premise itself is weird enough, but then the people attached. So here's the premise. Smokey and the Bandit is getting a TV series.
Okay.
Here's where it gets weird.
Okay.
While already busy at work developing Clive Barker's Hellraiser for the small screen,
know that was happening.
David Gordon Green has found another iconic film franchise to bring to television in the form of road action Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay.
Green is partnering with frequent collaborator Brian Sides from Alaska, The Final Frontier, to co-write the modern take on the 1977 Southern Set classic, and are set to executive produce alongside fellow frequent collaborator Danny McBride,
okay,
Jody Hill, and Brandon James via their Rough House Pictures banner, and Seth MacFarlane and Erica Huggins for Fuzzy Door Productions.
Okay.
Growing up in the South, Smokey and the Bandit was an iconic franchise for me. The legacy of these characters is a playground of swagger and sass that I'm excited to dig into. Green, who was born in Little Rock, Arkansas, and raised in Texas, said in a statement. In addition to penning the script, he's set to step behind the camera and direct the potential pilot, which currently has no network attached to the series, being produced for Universal Content Productions. So, weird.
Well, here's the problem with this. Smokey and the Bandit was a solid show.
Mm-hmm.
However, Jackie Gleason stole the movie as Buford T. Justice, okay?
Yes.
When you think of Smokey and the Bandit, all the most quotable lines, all the best scenes involve Jackie Gleason and his son, Junior. But you know what I mean? Uh-huh. But it's not Burt Reynolds, you know? It's not Sally Field. It's not Cletus Snow, the snowman. It's Jackie Gleason's Buford T. Justice.
Mm-hmm.
He is the movie.
Like, he is.
He made the movie.
Because he's Smokey.
Yeah. And he did get top billing.
Yeah, you don't have Smokey and the Bandit without Smokey.
But Smokey and the Bandit 2, Smokey and the Bandit 3.
Yeah.
You know, Smokey and the Bandit 2, you got, was he back for, was a month? No, Burt Reynolds was back for 2. It was 3. Smokey and the Bandit is part 3 that Burt Reynolds did not come back for. But Jerry Reed, who played the snowman, basically stepped in for Smokey, for the Bandit.
Mm-hmm.
And when Buford T. Justice finally caught up with him, he was basically, he did this whole thing, like, look, he's never actually seen the Bandit. He doesn't know what he looks like. So I'll pretend to be him. So I got to make it seem like I'm the Bandit. And then when he turns to look at him, Burt Reynolds has a cameo playing the Bandit for like 2 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah. So that stands out in my mind. But, yeah, no, Smokey and the Bandit, the original one, Buford T. Justice was the man. And
so they'll have to come up with somebody.
Whoever they cast as him, Danny McBride probably, could be a great Buford T. Justice.
I could see that.
Well, think about his character from The Hangover.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Or even from Down and Out, whatever, they played the baseball star.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was thinking of his character in Due Date. When he was in the wheelchair.
What did I say? The Hangover? Due Date.
I was going to say.
I said The Hangover, but no. Hangover. Yeah, his character in Due Date.
Got reservation.
Yeah, Chili's. Yeah. Going to Chili's.
That's actually a
closing time. Time for you to go out with my Chili's and my motherfucking friends. Yeah, they get him to play Buford T. Justice.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
That I could buy.
Quibi's shutting down.
No surprise. Never watched a single thing on it.
Nope. And they actually said, we might have been wrong about our approach. What? Nope. Forcing people to watch it in 10-minute chunks on their phones?
Yeah.
Not allowing them to watch on their TVs? You think?
Yeah.
Idiots.
Wonder what's going to happen to the content.
Don't know.
Some big names make content for that network, so I wonder what's going
to
happen.
It'll probably get sold off when they shut down, you know, because they'll have to recoup their money somehow. Tim Burton's going to be doing a live-action Addams Family show.
Okay.
You know, as Kelly said, I wonder how he'll find a way to put Helena Bonham Carter and Johnny Depp into it.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. Morticia and Gomez. No, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Two more pieces.
Now, Johnny Depp is way too eccentric to be Gomez. Mm-hmm. He could be Thing, because mm-hmm. all his hair would cover him.
That's true. Yeah. Actually, she said that Cousin It for Helena Bonham Carter.
That's what I meant, Cousin It, yeah.
Okay. X-Men Simon Kinberg has signed on to write and produce Universal's long-gestating Battlestar Galactica movie. Why would they make a movie? It works best
as a series.
According to the Hollywood Reporter, Kinberg, who has been shepherding X-Men stories to the screen since 2006, The Last Stand, is on board to write a new script for the upcoming feature adaptation of Battlestar Galactica science fiction franchise. Kinberg is also set to produce the movie with Dylan Clark, who has already been attached to lead the project for some time. Battlestar is one of the holy grails of science fiction, and I couldn't be more excited about bringing something new to the franchise while honoring what's made it iconic and enduring. I'm so grateful that Dylan Clark and my partners at Universal have trusted me with this incredible universe. I don't want it to be a movie.
I don't want it to be a movie either. It's a TV series.
Now, I saved this one for last.
Okay.
Just showed up today, and it's interesting. So they did an interview. I believe it was Bloody Good.
Bloody Disgusting, probably.
Yeah. About the new Evil Dead movie.
Yes, okay.
The title Evil Dead Rise was revealed this past summer by Ash Williams himself, Bruce Campbell, as well as the idea that the upcoming movie will shake up the tried and tested franchise formula by deviating away from some of the key narrative staples.
And we know the director.
Director Lee Cronin expanded on this concept recently during a chat with Bloody Disgusting, saying that the film will feature a female heroine in a city, possibly in a high-rise apartment complex, hence the title Evil Dead Rise.
Sure.
I'm confident I'm going to do something that's both familiar and refreshing, Cronin said. I'm going to deliver a roller coaster of horror. That's what the goal is here. Relentless. Not stopping to explain too much. It needs to be extremely visceral, highly entertaining, properly scary. To push boundaries, that's important as well. During an interview with AL.com, Campbell said the movie kicks off when that book gets around and lots of people run into it, and it's another story. So there.
Sold.
Yep. I like the idea of it being Evil Dead Rise because it takes place in a high rise rather than a cabin in the woods.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yep, absolutely.
I guess that's everything.
That's everything.
All right.
What did we run in at this week?
Hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
Shortest episode ever, maybe? I don't
no,
know.
No, we've had one under an hour before.
Oh, okay. Well, pretty close then.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the show. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Thanks.